takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We can change.
Yes, we can. One heart and one mind at a time. This is Jay Parker on Revolution.radio. It's the 1st of February, 2024. Our guest this evening will be Mark Passio of What on Earth is Happening. I just want to say something before I bring Mark in. I just spent 2 hours listening to Mr. Rowe's show, which I always do because it's such a good show. But I tell you, some of the tapes you get from Davos, like of Yuval Noah Harari and some of the other panels, they're just... all I can think about, you know, thank God you played that music at the end of the show. It was kind of like washed all the filth off of me from listening to 2 hours of those elitist, neo-Nazi, transhumanist, pedophile, scum of the earth. And all I think about when I listen to Yuval Noah Harari or Klaus Schwab is, please God, let me let me be in that main meeting room at Davos with the Arnold Schwarzenegger minigun from Terminator 2. Grant me that one prayer, Lord, and my life will be fulfilled. All right, with that said, I'd like to bring in Tavistock Institute's favorite comedian, the host of the What on Earth is Happening lecture show every Sunday at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, Mr. Mark Passio.
Jay, thank you so much for inviting me back on. I've been enjoying this little mini-series that we've been doing on Thursday nights.
Thank you. I appreciate the fact that, you know, we can bring out some information that you just normally don't hear out there, because we both have, I would say, a little bit of a bizarre experiential life.
Without any doubt.
At least.
Something that most people have no referential frame of knowledge to work from, because 99.9999% of human beings will never be involved in the world of the dark occult, you know, and that's fortunate for them. But perhaps one could look at it as,
well, I definitely would say that percentage is way off.
So you think that it's much larger of a percentage of human
beings?
Well,
I mean, we've got 15% of the worldwide population is definitely dark occult, generational Satanists.
I mean, certainly serving them. Yeah.
Okay, so there you got 15% right there.
Well, let's say the people on the side of what is supposed to be good, mm-hmm, and the people who want freedom and don't want to be slaves, let's just say 99.999% of them will not have any
involved. Of the football watchers?
Yeah.
Of the baseball watchers?
They'll never it.
Now I know who you're talking
during
about.
During the course of their lifetime, certainly not from an experiential point of view, whether they glean it through book knowledge, through listening to interviews, through, you know, watching podcasts, etc., you know, is up for debate whether that knowledge will eventually trickle down to them or not.
Word you used?
What's that?
The book? Book? What is reading? The book?
Reading?
Oh, reading. Oh, the ancient ones.
Shouldn't he be in a concentration camp for even suggesting it?
Well, I mean, as far as I know, slaves aren't allowed to learn how to read.
Yeah, certainly not with the real truth discovery methodology. You know, they're given all kinds of false so-called methods of learning, but they're never given the real tools for learning, certainly not in the public school system or even, you know, religious schools of any kind. You know, they want them operating
about,
on belief.
Julius Caesar and Gaul.
Oh yeah, this is a
that's a great story.
In my AP Latin class in high school, we studied the war journals of Julius Caesar, and we had to translate the journals written in the original Latin to English, and then answer questions on the exams about what actually took place. So, like, the tests were in English. That was the cool part about the class, about what my Latin teacher did, is the tests were not in Latin. You had to read the material and then answer questions about what happened in the material after reading it and translating it in the original Latin. And then you had to answer essay questions in English about what happened in the Latin stories. And one of the word journals was about the teaching methods of the ancient Romans compared to what they gave to their slave class. And Caesar was in one of the war encampments touring to see the status of the soldiers, of his centurions, and to see the battle readiness of his you know, battalions, his of his war soldiers. And while he's touring around from tent to tent in the centurions, you know, encampments, he encounters one of his you know, war centurions, one of his, you know, generals, or, you know, at least high-ranking military officials, basically teaching one of their equipment carriers that was one of the Romans' slave class, you know, of people, that basically, you know, carry the tents, carry the food, carry the water, carry, you know, perhaps weaponry for the soldiers, and, you know, set everything up and then tend to their needs near the battlefields. And he's talking to this slave, one of, you know, Caesar's, let's say, one of his lieutenants or something like that. And he finds this centurion teaching the slave the Romans' learning and truth discovery methodology called the trivium method. So the trivium consists of grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And these are the three basic stepping stones for garnering truth and knowledge in the world. So the first step, grammar, is the gathering of information. This is the building blocks. That's why they call it the grammar step. You can't put sentences together until you basically learn basic grammar. You have to learn words. You know, the word grammar really ultimately means words. Okay, so you have to have the building blocks of foundational knowledge. You have to know the words before you can build the sentences, before you can write books, right? So grammar is the first step. That's the collection of data. You have to gather all of the pertinent data that you could possibly need to understand the topic and the material at hand. That's step number one. So if information is not available, or you haven't done the gathering step to put it, you know, all together in at least one place where you can then go through it and try to start to understand it, or if it's hidden deliberately, if it is secreted away or occulted, you're going to have a very difficult time even getting to the very first step of truth discovery, which is gathering the data or the grammar. Now, in the ancient trivium method, this was called simply knowledge. So the classical trivium in this time period was grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And in the ancient world, even older than in ancient Roman times, far beyond that, when you go even back to, you know, ancient Greece, when you go beyond that to ancient Egypt, and beyond that to ancient Babylon, and then even into pre-Diluvian times, this teaching methodology, this learning methodology, truth discovery methodology, was known as knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, because knowledge is the data gathering, it's putting the information together, then understanding is pouring through it and really basically performing transforms upon that knowledge, meaning you're trying to weed out the logical inconsistencies. In the classical method, this was called the logic step. And in the ancient method, this is understanding it. It's understanding what all the data that you've gathered truly means. And then the last step is the rhetoric step, if we're looking at it from the classical trivium. If we're looking at it from the very ancient form of the trivium, this was wisdom. Wisdom is not just knowledge, it's right action conducted once you have gathered all of the knowledge and formulated it into an understandable worldview. So then you're taking right action with it in the final step. So the final step is either rhetoric, or also called simply wisdom, which is doing the right and correct moral thing with what you have come to know and understand. So this centurion is teaching one of the Roman slaves in the encampment, in the battle encampment, the trivium. He's teaching them grammar, logic, rhetoric, the steps of the classical trivium method. And Gaius Julius Caesar, the current emperor of the Roman Empire at the time, while touring the encampment, sees this encounter between one of his centurions and one of the Roman slaves taking place, and he pulls the centurion aside at the tent near the battle encampment, and he says, "Why are you teaching this slave the trivium?" And he says, "Well, you know, I figure it would enrich him. It would get him to understand and have more of an appreciation for knowledge and how to go about really learning it." And Caesar basically stops him, like, viciously, angrily, and says, "How dare you teach a slave our learning methodology? How dare you teach a slave how to discern truth from falsehood?" He said, "Before you know it, this slave will not want to be a slave anymore and will want to be free because of what he comes to know." He says to the centurion, "If I ever hear of you teaching any of our slaves the trivium method, I will personally see to it that you are exiled into the wilderness of Gaul." Now, Gaul was the period, region that is now what we call France. And they were currently not part of the Roman Empire. And the Romans were trying to make encroachments into the region of Gaul to conquer them and make them a part of the Roman Empire. The Gaulians were then seen as barbarians and not civilized because they were not yet incorporated and made part of the empire at the time. And so he basically said to this centurion, "If you teach any of our slaves the real method for acquiring and understanding real knowledge, I will see to it that you are exiled into Gaul, and they know that you are one of us who are trying to conquer them, and I will let the Gauls deal with you. I won't deal with you myself. I will make sure that our enemies tear you apart," essentially, is what he was telling him. And it's basically the same way today with elitists, with globalists, with social engineers, with the dark occultists who really rule our world. They have their own ways of acquiring and truly understanding what is really taking place, and they take that out of the modern educational system, what we laughingly call the educational system. It is nothing of the kind. It's not education at all. It is brainwashing. It is mind control. It is social engineering. And they give us a completely distorted, watered-down, so-called method of learning that has absolutely nothing to do with true truth discovery. It is all about giving us and embedding within our minds, especially deep into the subconscious mind, completely erroneous, false belief systems that are essentially religions, whether they are cultural religions or whether they are social religions or whether they are religions that simply comprise different aspects of social engineering, whether they are the religion of the belief in authority, whether it's the religion of money, whether it's the religion of looking to external leadership instead of developing your own true sense of internal power. All of these things are false belief systems and religions, and that's what the modern, laughingly so-called educational system is designed to inculcate us into.
Yes, but it makes obedient workers.
It makes perfect sense from the point of view of social engineering. If you want to conquer a people, you certainly don't want them to have the tools of real learning at their disposal. You want them to be gullible idiots, which almost the vast bulk of the human population absolutely is. I mean, let's face it, most people, like I've been saying, are about as dumb as a sack of bent rusty nails. And they show no signs of really ever developing into a person that is going to be truly capable of learning and thinking. Zero signs of it. I would love to see
why that change.
Yeah.
Why do you disparage rusty nails like that?
Well, bent rusty nails don't really do too much, you know. They're and kind of keeping them around in a sack. It's kind of a dumb idea, and that's about how dumb I think most people are, you know. Not to make too much of a mockery of it, but it's kind of a deserved mockery. And, you know, that's not to say that I don't want to see people prosper and change and really, truly learn, but they don't seem to be showing much signs of it. They're the retarded child that he's burned his hand on the stove down to the bone. And he's there drooling, and he's like, let me put my hand in the fire again. That's humanity. Let's face it. That's humanity, okay? You know, to be too graphic or just vicious, you know, vitriolic, let's be honest. That is how dumb this species is. Their flesh is already melted off the bone from keeping it over a fire, and they're like, I'm not sure I know what hot is yet. Let me put my hand in there a few more times. You know, that's literally how dumb our species is. And it's because they want to stay attached to belief systems that have never done any service to their entire existence. And yet they want to continue to cling to these belief systems like maggots to a dead, dying corpse, to decaying flesh, and believe that suddenly a belief system that has never gotten them anywhere good is magically going to bring them peace, harmony, prosperity, justice, and freedom. It's the very definition of mental retardation and insanity combined.
Well, the more you analyze what Tavistock Institute has done, and Rand Corporation, and Carnegie Mellon, and you see the social engineering in the West, it's like, I was talking to a woman who was a early childhood educator, and she was teaching nursery school or first grade, and she had never heard of the programmable state.
Of course.
And I'm like, wait a minute, you have a degree in early childhood education,
right,
and you've never heard of the programmable state?
Jay, I talked to a child psychologist.
How is that even possible?
Yeah, imagine, because they don't even get that education. I spoke with a child psychologist years ago and got into a fairly deep conversation with this person over about 3 hours of time. And I really started delving down into the occult and their practices and how they perform social engineering and mind control and some of the tactics and techniques that they use. And this person said to me, you just taught me and explained more to me about real deep psychology than I learned in all my years of education within 3 hours of the conversation we had. She said they don't teach any part of that. And this person is a licensed professional with a practice doing child psychology of all things. And, you know, that's where our educational system is really at. They teach us things that really don't matter, that can't lead to our betterment, and certainly can't lead to our true freedom. They're all things that keep us shackled and enslaved. And it's all because of incorrect thought that people cling on to. And this is the thing that I am under no delusions, that I do not think that me saying this is going to change the bulk of the potential listening audience's mind. They're not going to have an aha moment. They're not going to suddenly come out of their trance. They're not, if they haven't already, they're not going to suddenly have an awakening. Most people are going to cling on to untruth until the day that they die in ignorance and slavery. And that is exactly as it should be. The universe is working 100% perfectly. There is absolutely nothing wrong with creation and its laws. There is nothing wrong with the universe. The problem lies entirely with humanity. The problem lies in a broken mindset, in a broken worldview, in a broken brain, in a broken way that people go about trying to glean what reality actually is, and they do a horrific, completely poor and uneducated job of doing that. And that is what is continuously leading to more and more and more and more suffering for them. And that is the exact way that the justice machine that the universe actually is works, and it is working flawlessly at all times and at all places. It is not the universe that is the problem. It is not the universe that is broken. It's us that is the problem, and it is we who are broken as a species.
Well, I just want to tell you that I'm monitoring the chat room, mm-hmm. and I've had someone complain that you're on tonight and that, you know, he cannot stand to hear you put people down.
Right.
And
because human beings are such a wonderful species that deserve praise, freedom, prosperity, all good things coming to them, because it isn't like most human beings will do completely immoral things for money and a paycheck. No, that isn't true. I'm making all of that up. I'm speaking out my rear end. And that person knows exactly where humanity's state of consciousness is. They should be the guest, because I don't know anything that I'm talking about after all my years of research, study, and direct experience with the occult world. While they have done practically none of that, but yet their complete ignorance and opinion trumps my years of knowledge and study. So wonderful. That's what they think. I really honestly could care less. I'm still correct. And I'm saying
we live in a situation where everyone, you know, this is what I heard on the Today Show around 2001. They had a woman on from RAND Corporation that Katie Couric has on every year. Mm-hmm. And Katie Couric says to the woman from RAND Corporation, where do you see society going? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, we're going to a sensate society where feelings mean more than facts.
Yep, yep. And just to not to belabor this or harp upon it, because, again, it's an ill-informed opinion, but the person saying that you shouldn't bring me on because I'm being negative and beating up on humanity, you know, really is reacting with feeling instead of attempting to glean truth. They just want to hear what they want to hear instead of what is actually true. That's the problem with all of humanity, is that they're not interested in really ascertaining the current true condition of our species, because that's the first step of making an accurate diagnosis regarding what is truly wrong and then how to go about enacting a solution to correct it. If a doctor is unable to make a diagnosis, they are unable to prescribe anything to correct the condition. And that's what most people do. They never even get to diagnosing the problem. They don't understand the causal factors of the problem because they don't want to look deep enough, because looking truly deeply at the human condition is a horror show. It's not something that's comfortable. It's not something that makes you feel good or should make you feel good, as degraded and deplorable as it is. And unless you actually truly look at it head on, face to face, without flinching, Are you ever going to come down to the true causal factors of what put us in this condition and then learn what can get us out of this condition? That individual is what I would say to an individual like that is just what there was a Hollywood movie about Achilles, the Greek demigod, and he's getting ready to go into battle, and a young child says to him, "You're going to go and fight these guys? They're killers, and aren't you scared?" And he's like, "I'm going to go and do what needs to be done." And these the child responds, "I would be completely petrified and terrified to go and do that." And Achilles looks at the child from his horse before charging into battle, and he says, "That's why no one will ever remember your name. Because they're not prepared to do what they actually are required by creation to do. Without flinching, without sugarcoating it, without looking the other way, without trying for escape or a way out, but actually truly looking at the human condition in all of its horror and making an accurate diagnosis of the condition, and then really telling people the things that they need to hear to not only truly change the condition, but even begin moving in the direction to meet the requirements to change the condition, because that's charging headlong into the battle that we face as a species." And what I would say to that person is, not only won't I remember your name and remember what you said by tomorrow, no one will ever remember your name, but they will remember the name Mark Passio. And that's not even why I'm doing this. I'm not here for notoriety or fame. I'm here because I'm here to teach the world the right answer. I am here to speak the solution out into the world for the strong, for those who are capable of hearing, and for those who aren't ignorant dolts that don't want to hear the real answers. They want to hear the soft untruth that they want to hear because they're soft people. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, other than that, who do you have in the Super Bowl?
Real important stuff, man. I mean, well, I got – man, do I have some Bitcoin on the line for this game. No, not really. I don't even know who won last week and who's playing, to be honest. I just don't have the time to follow stuff like that.
Well, there is a YouTube channel – and he's somewhat popular, but he's called Jake the Asshole.
that's a great YouTube name. That's awesome.
And what he does every week, he breaks down the plays of the game. Mm-hmm. And when you see the football game and these big plays in the game, and you see it in slow motion – and someone pointing out,
you realize how fixed
this one's
right.
Taking the dive, this right, one's right, right, doing right. This, and sure. And breaking it down, you go, wow, this is worse than wrestling.
Sure. It's and, like WWE, except yeah, it's harder for people to see the scripting. Right.
No, I mean, WWE has got a lot more integrity than this.
Right.
Believe me.
Sure.
And like... I just want to say that, you know, with all that's going on, we've gotten to the point where we're actually physically chopping off the genitals of our children.
Yep.
And it's Munchausen by proxy.
We have a society that is completely, the entirety of our society has become one large satanic ritual. It is one large belief system of Satanism, and it is actually ritualized into a degradation ritual of mass satanic belief. That's literally where our society is at, and it already is. It's a hell world, and it's a prison society already. It's a prison of thought. But forget the prison of bars, forget the prison of shackles and chains and real hard slavery. We're already in a prison of the mind. And people's belief system is so rigid and so distorted that they will probably never get their head out from up their rear end. Like I said, most people in this world are going to die in a state of complete ignorance. And not just ignorance. It's what I refer to in my work as they're in negative knowledge. They're in the pit, right? To climb up to the ground, they'd have to be climbing for a few months. And in real life, like, it would take them years. But I'm saying, like, if you actually physically tried to climb out of a pit and it took you months to make that climb out of the pit, that's how deep they're in the pit of negative knowledge. And what I mean by that is, like, if you're at a zero point of not knowing anything, you don't know anything, you're not at the top of the mountain, you're right on the ground, they're not even on the ground. Not only are they nowhere toward the peak of the mountain, they haven't started the climb up the mountain of knowledge. They're deep, deep, deep underneath the ground in a pit, in a chasm, deep in the earth. They would have to, and that pit represents all falsity that they cling to and believe. Not only don't they have any real knowledge, they have endless, endless amounts of completely incorrect beliefs that they continue to cling on to and believe fervently, like a complete lunatic cult member religionist. And it would take them lifetimes to even get back to the ground level where not only don't they know anything, they just don't believe in anything that is false. So that's how deep in negative knowledge humanity is. They not only haven't started learning the true knowledge that they need to understand, which would represent climbing up to a mountain peak, they're about 1,000 miles deep under the ground in negative knowledge, which means you've bought into lies and you continue to cling to lies about how everything actually works. You know nothing about how anything works. And the social engineers have given you all of this mind control about how they want you to think of how things work. And you've bought into all of those lies. You've bought into all of that mind control. And you'll be digging yourself out of a pit for lifetime after lifetime just to get back to zero, to knowing nothing. That's how bad our situation is. Believe it.
Well, you know that one of my housemates is Kat Waters, and she's always pointing out different things that her research is showing her.
Yes.
And I make a lot of – I poke her a lot, and I joke with her that she doesn't appreciate the hard work Big Daddy does.
Yeah. I mean, you know, these guys
But she showed me something last night that blew my mind. Maybe she did today.
Okay.
It was on X last night. It was a tweet by General Michael Flynn.
Okay.
And he said, "God bless the 300 soldiers that Biden is sending to the Middle East."
Goody.
You know, it's, and I'm like,
to the altar of sacrifice.
Right. I mean, 300 soldiers isn't going to do squat, except when they get killed, it'll cause a trigger.
Right. And then there'll be more of an outcry. And that's how dialectics work. That's how polarization dialectics work. And people can't see it. They're too dumb to see it.
Well, so they keep doing this the exact whole thing same of techniques. Like, you know, Biden better show some strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
What are
people
you
will
doing
call for
Syria?
All kinds of ridiculous
you're
stuff.
Stealing oil? What are you doing in Iraq? Both Iraq and Syria have governments that have formally asked us to leave, and they've been doing this for years. They've been saying, "Get out of our nation. We don't want you here." And yet we're still there, Mark.
Well, I mean, we're supposed
Who
to
is
be
the aggressor?
Policemen of the world and interject
Who is
ourselves.
The aggressor?
Right. We haven't built enough military bases in the Middle East, Jay. Come on, man. Get with the program, man. You know how many jobs depend on all those military bases and weapons and, you know, infrastructure? You know, you want to take money out of the mouths of Americans? What are you, crazy, man?
Well,
trying to do the right thing, you're going to put people in the poorhouse, dude.
I'm telling you right now.
You're not worshiping the true God, man. Money, you know, the true one eye, you know. It's not the eye of the God of creation. It's the satanic God, you know, that has replaced itself in everybody's mind and heart. That's the only God that exists in this world. You know, that's it. Because you can't do the right thing and quit your job if you're serving a satanic government and all of their demands and wishes and mandates and, you know, alleged laws. You know, you got to put your head down, put your hand over your heart, pledge allegiance to the flag, and go marching off to the altar of sacrifice like the good little dog that you are with your little dog tags. You know, the Satanists are calling these people their dogs and their pets. They'll call it to them right to their face, and these people wouldn't care because they don't have any self-worth, man. You know, some thug that just goes and takes money to go and, you know, do violence to people. What do you think? They have self-worth? They're trash with no self-worth. That's all any order follower has ever been in the history of humanity. And people still don't understand. They still don't get it. The police of their day murdered your Christ. That's who murdered your Christ figure. It was the police. It was the Roman centurions, the police and military of their day, of their time. And people still can't see the allegory. You know, they can't even interpret their own scriptures. That's how dumb they are. And yet they'll support the police and Christians and then support the very institutions that actually killed their so-called Messiah.
Police in Arden said to the man that I sent, gave the information of the murder of my friend Brandon Plummer. And when he went to the police said, oh, we know what's going on in Arden, but we can't do anything about it.
Right.
And what I'm that was 1963.
Well, they can't arrest one of their own cult members, man. I mean, they're higher up in the cult than the police members are. So you can't go to your superior cult member and arrest them. What do you expect? And people still don't understand this is how it works, that these people are part of the cult. You know, watch the movie Spellbinder. If you haven't seen that one, it's a pretty good depiction of how institutions within the world of the occult actually work. People should check that one out. It's a hard one to find. It's from the late 90s. It's called Spellbinder. And, you know, not to spoil it, but you'll find that exactly who the police are, let's say, at the end of that movie. It's a very good ending, very accurate ending. You know, not what I would call a happy ending or a good ending, but it's a very accurate ending, let's say. Very good spiritual allegory, and whoever made it, I would say, is or was involved in true dark occultism and really knows how it works.
Well, the graphic of the Fraternal Order of Police of mm-hmm. the City of Philadelphia.
Right.
When you see that graphic, I mean, if you can look at that and say, oh, there's nothing satanic going on here,
yep.
You've got to be on Hunter Biden crack.
All of the symbolism of police, military, intelligence agencies is either outright satanic or it's based on dark masonry, not true Freemasonry, which it does have value as an allegorical and symbolic tradition regarding morality. It does not represent true Freemasonry, but what I refer to as dark masonry, just like there is light and form and dark forms of occult knowledge and different occult traditions, there is light and dark forms of masonry. true light masonry, I would call true Freemasonry, and then dark masonry is a satanically inspired masonry. It's building the dark world. It's not building a world full of light and knowledge and morality and goodness and prosperity and alignment with the laws of the universe as true Freemasonry is supposed to do, but it's building a world of darkness.
In the 1790s, the head of Freemasonry in England said that Freemasonry should be disbanded because it was infiltrated by the Illuminati the Jacobins.
Yes, every lodge in Europe at that time had been infiltrated by the occult order of the Bavarian Illuminati. I actually talked about that extensively in my recent presentation that I gave back in October called Two Masks, Same Face, The Dark Occult Origins of Nazism and Communism. And I talked about that in the Origins of Communism section because the Bavarian Illuminati occult order had so much influence in creating what we now see in the modern world today as communist societies that it's unimaginably provable. There is so much information regarding it that I literally had to cut down all of the research that I've done over about a 6-year period to get this whole presentation in an 8-hour period of time. The presentation was 8 hours and 5 minutes long. And I did talk about origins of Nazism as well in the first part. And then in the second half, I talked about the origins of communism. And the Bavarian Illuminati was an entire subsection of the presentation because I had to go over that infiltration of Masonic lodges through that organization to help people to understand how they use that as a system to institute the types of Marxist and communist governments that they eventually did. And that presentation is being edited, and I will have it out to the public probably within a couple of months. I don't want to make any exact time frame promises. Certainly in the first half of the year, my goal is the first quarter of the year. We'll see if we can hit that and get it out to the public by that time. But it's a painstaking process. I have 4 other presentations that I'm working on getting out very, very shortly as well that I delivered in 2023 and early 2024 so far.
Yeah, I'm just amazed that, you know, I keep saying to people, you've got to, as David Icke says, take a step back and start to reprogram yourself.
Yep.
And you have to read, you know, The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. And you have to understand the fundamentals of your psychology and your physiology. And once you get those keys, you can see the manipulation and how it works.
Of course.
And without those key understanding of the programmable state, you're up the creek without a paddle.
People continuously try to insist that they know human nature, and the human nature is either good or bad, and they completely ignore the role of information and knowledge when it comes to how a human being turns out once they reach adulthood. And that has everything to do with the early formative years of a child's mind, or what Jay is accurately referring to here as the programmable state. It is a state that resembles a hypnagogic state. It's a state that exists between a fully conscious state of consciousness and a dreaming state, or a state of semi-consciousness, subconscious, or even unconsciousness. And it's like a fuzzy area of consciousness in between, let's say, waking and dreaming, that the being is in for its format years. Formative is based on the word format. just like when you format a hard drive. What do you do when you are formatting a hard drive? Most people are technologically illiterate as well, so I'll explain what formatting a hard drive actually does. When you format a drive, you are essentially erasing it to nothing and to no data being on it, or technically you're making all of the data blocks on the drive that can store information available to store information. You may not completely erase it, like writing all zeros to it, but you're basically wiping the drive and allowing new data to be placed onto the drive. And that is done by putting what is known as a file system onto the drive. The file system is going to allow files onto the drive that is then going to allow something like an operating system to be installed. And then you could boot the computer into that operating system, and then you could install other software into it to do productive work. So the format is one of the most important things that you have to do with any storage device before you start using it on a computer to either run an operating system or store data. And the format is going to determine the way that information is accepted and processed. And there's no difference when it comes to the human body computer. We are like a computer. We are not a computer, but we are similar in many ways to how a computer operates. And our nature is simply that we can be programmed through information and knowledge in certain ways. And then behaviorally, we will make decisions. Our decision-making processes will in turn be directly related to the knowledge that either did or did not go into us, and the quality of the knowledge that went into us. Okay, then we'll make decisions based on that knowledge, and that will determine the quality of our behavior. You put that all together in the aggregate of human society, and it all results in what we call the current human condition. So we should stop even talking about this concept of human nature as being good or bad. Human nature is neither good nor bad. It's neither good nor evil. Human nature is that human beings are simply able to be programmed through information. And whether they turn out to be good or bad and do good or bad things is going to be directly related to how accurate their knowledge of reality turns out after their hard drive has been formatted. That's the child's formative years. And then their decision-making processes based upon the knowledge that they either received or didn't receive, and the quality of that knowledge. That's what's going to determine the quality of their behavior. So we are simply a programmable species. That is our nature. Just like a computer, like how ridiculous, I word to people like this all the time, how ridiculous would it be for a person to say, that computer's nature is that it is good and moral? Or how ridiculous would it be to say, you know, that computer has an evil nature. It's just it's a bad seed. There's no such thing as a computer that is moral or immoral, good or evil. A computer has certain specifications, and it accepts information, it processes information, it outputs information, and its basic nature is that it computes. It does transformations upon information that is programmed into it, just like human beings do. Human beings do the same thing, and they start at that formative state, which is a programmable state. It is a hypnagogic state of consciousness. And in that state, a small child from birth through up about 6.5 to 7 years old approximately is incapable of rejecting newly input information. It takes it all in, and it is informing its entire worldview upon all of the data that is input into the child's mind and psyche over that formative period of the child's early development. And based upon what the child receives during that time frame is going to heavily, highly influence the mindset, the worldview, and the behavior of the child moving forward into later childhood, and then eventually into early adulthood, and then adulthood. And this is the problem. parents don't understand any part of that. Almost every parent in this world has never looked into that dynamic for one millisecond of their entire existence. And that's why most of them are unfit to be parents.
Why should they? When the state can raise their children and the TV can.
Right. Slap them a TV dinner on a tray and then put them right in front of the crap box. You know, sorry, I almost used profanity there. I try not to do that on other people's shows, but you know, slap them right in front of the box that's just, spewing detritus in their face all day. And, you're going to have a great kid in a few years that's going to turn into a wonderful, responsible adult. Don't you know? You know, just the reasons people even have children. You know, it's just amazing that they pump out children for their own selfish reasons instead of actually wanting to truly help the child grow and develop and learn and become a responsible adult. And this is the problem. Responsible adults aren't having children. Totally irresponsible adults are having children that are essentially children in and of themselves.
Well, it's idiocracy.
Yeah. And not showing any signs of improving or getting better, unfortunately, you know. And then again, Jay, I'm the bad guy for just telling people what the human condition is and why we got to this point. I'm the bad guy for that. You know, the person on the news who's lying to you with a smile on their face, they're a positive person. The knowledge that I'm giving people, it's not positive. It's negative. Yeah. I'm just a negative Nelly. I'm just a doomsayer. I'm just black-pilled. When I'm really none of those things, because knowledge is what makes a human being unfit to be a slave. If you don't want slavery,
you
need accurate knowledge. Yes.
You can't use that quote.
Yeah.
Because
God forbid.
That quote came from an African American.
So I'm culturally appropriating a quote about knowledge. Right. Right.
You are. Frederick Douglass and did that. And, you know, nothing is truer than that is a true statement.
In all seriousness, like Douglass was a very well-educated human being and really understood how this dynamic worked. And he was trying to explain to people how to avoid an entire society becoming enslaved. And that was truly educate yourself. Stop buying into nonsense. Stop buying into mind control. Stop believing things that are completely ridiculous and have nothing to do with the way reality actually works. And become a true, responsible, educated adult. And, you know, that's the thing most people get killed for. Say.
Or crucified.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we'll be back in a few minutes with Mr. Nasty.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific Time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Row on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Mountain High Time, 2 hours of an organization to the madness, discussing the ever-changing dynamics of being both physically and mentally prepared for a plethora of possible outcomes to our future and present. A look into the latest technologies, new scientific discoveries, and how they might be used in connection to the human domain and controlling it, ancient cultures and places. Be warned. This is an opinionated look through headlines. Guests that are not afraid to question the narrative. A little bit of crazy ramblings of a stoner conspiracy factist that pushes constitutional concepts. The place and the time are the same, another dimension we call Mountain High Time. Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Mountain High Time. Right here on Revolution.radio, where information never sleeps and truth breaks the spell.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of 6 hydrocoptic Marzal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every 7th conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back. It's February 1st, 2024. My guest is Mark Passio of What on Earth Is Happening. And we were discussing the programmable state. In the first 6.5 years of your life, you have 2 brainwave patterns. You cannot differentiate any information coming through your 5 senses, and so it just goes right into your subconscious, and that subconscious is being built for the first 6.5 years of your life. And that subconscious is like the word of God to a human being. It forms 95% of their attitudes, actions, and thoughts. So if you have a creature, human being, who 95% of their life is going to come out of their subconscious. If you can program that subconscious falsely, believing things that are not true, you can have an entire society of people who uphold that which is not true and fight against that which is true. And Mark, I just want to say that, you know, there's 2 books that every person should read, and that's The Biology of Belief by Dr. Bruce Lipton.
Definitely.
And How to Break the Habit of Being Yourself by Dr. Joe Dispenza. Those 2 books will give you a window into how you think the way you think, how you feel the way you feel. And when you start to learn that, oh, I'm eating these chemicals, how are they affecting my mind, my body, my actions? Then you stop eating poison. You stop eating chemical swill that the government and the big ag is sending you. You've got to stop eating the poison. Stop drinking the poison. And stop thinking poison. This war machine is totally out of control. And the reason it's out of control is because most people think that there's a boogeyman that wants to come and get them. And you don't realize the boogeyman is us.
That's
We're
right.
the bully. We're the boogeyman. We're the one with 800 bases worldwide. We are pushing people around. We are stealing oil in Syria. We are oppressing and the CIA. How many governments have they overturned? 40? 60? In the last 50 years? It's ridiculous. America is doing exactly what the British Empire tells them to do. And, you know, this is where you got to read a lot of stuff. And one of the best things you can do for your brain, at least I'm just letting you know, is to get the amazing resource of knowledge from Mark Passio. And Mark, I'd like you to talk about the
sure.
ARC
yeah,
and
it's the,
what you built.
It's called the Amazing Repository of Knowledge. And it is a collection of data. It's a collection of grammar for the first step of the Trivium truth discovery process. It is a collection of knowledge. And it's organized into categories. It's organized on a computer storage drive that can be a hard drive or a solid state drive. It doesn't matter which. Whatever the person taking me up on the offer provides is what I will put the data on. Essentially, if someone sends to me a 2 terabyte storage drive for a computer, there are, you know, specifications that do have to be met. They're all in the instructions that I provide on my website. I will copy all of this massive repository of data, of knowledge, onto their drive and then ship it back to them. It's a process that I've done thousands of times for people. It works really well as long as people follow the instructions that I've set forward for my time and schedule and respect the offer, because I'm not a game player. I get up, I get to work, I get things done. You know, I don't have time to waste. I don't like when my time is wasted, and I don't like wasting other people's time. So the process that I've set out to do this is very efficient, and it works perfectly if it's followed. And, it is somewhat stringent. You know, there are exact requirements for what you have to send me, and there's an exact procedure for doing it that makes it quick and easy for me. And you know what it makes it? It makes it trouble-free for the person taking me up on the offer, because the main reason that I'm so specific, and some people would even say anal, about how I set up the process to do this is because I want to protect your property. You know, natural law is all about property rights. I don't want to violate or damage your property. You know, so if you follow this procedure, your property arrives here to me very quickly and efficiently. It doesn't get damaged. I put the data on it. I pack it back up. I ship it right back out to you with as little delay as possible and with as little problems as possible. If you follow the instructions, it goes really trouble-free. I've done it thousands of times for people. I've gotten many of these incredible knowledge repositories out into the world. And people take me up on this every single solitary week. I have ARCs coming in and shipping back out. So if you do want that, it I'll just tell you that the drive actually consists of about almost 10,000 digital books are on this drive. It's about 9,500 digital books in both PDF and EPUB format. EPUB stands for electronic publication. It's a digital book with reflowing text that can be made larger or smaller. There's some of those and many, many PDFs. And then there's about over 1,800, somewhere between 1,800 and 1,900 digital videos on the ARC drive. And there's over 26,000 audio files representing lectures, podcasts, etc. on the ARC. So it's almost 10,000 books, 26,000 pieces of audio, and over 1,800 digital videos, all on a 2 terabyte hard drive or solid state drive that you would send to me and I would copy the data to. And if you want to take me up on that, there are requirements that are on my website at whatonearthishappening.com, and then you can click the link that says ARC and read about the ARC. And then there's a form that you can fill out to get the shipping instructions if you want to take me up on this offer of providing this knowledge. It's all offline. You don't have to search the internet. You won't encounter censorship. You can play, listen to, or read any of the information that's on there in perpetuity after you have the data at your disposal. You could hook it up to any computer. It will hook up to a Mac. It will hook up to a Windows computer. It will hook up to a Linux computer. So it's operating system agnostic, you could say. You know, if you go to the ARC page of my website, you can get the information about it, the shipping instructions by filling out the form and downloading the PDF with the instructions. And there's also a video that even shows you how to go about safely packing the ARC, what the ARC is and how to pack it up and send it to me. I just want to tell people, don't use old instructions. If you've downloaded the instructions and it's been a while, you know, if you've waited, you know, make sure you have a recent set of instructions and you have the most recent, you know, place to send to, because I don't want to see people sending to an old address or anything like that. So that's the ARC offer, amazing repository of knowledge, 2 terabytes of data, every topic you could possibly imagine that of any importance to what's really going on in our world, completely uncensored, all offline and available on any computer you plug this device into.
Well, it certainly is a mind blower.
And yeah, it'll keep people busy for probably the duration of their lifetime. Let's put it that way. I want to go back to a couple of things that you brought up at the top of this hour, Jay, which are very interesting. You were talking about not only poisons that people put into their body, but also, you know, people joining the order following cult and, you know, going marching off to war for the globalist masters. I want to speak to a couple of those things because it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. And actually, one of the things just recently came up in my life in a personal conversation with a family member. Won't get into who it was, but someone contacted me about memory issues and possible unfortunate signs of, a memory that isn't working as well as it had been. You know, obviously then people start getting worried about more, you know, serious conditions like dementia or Alzheimer's, and they come into the conversation. But this person was saying that they read an article and it said fluoride is toxic and it's in the water and it's in toothpaste, and it's like this is contributing to stuff like this in our society. And I'm like, you didn't know that? Like, you haven't been aware that fluoride is a very extremely toxic chemical compound that is a byproduct of aluminum manufacture, and it's something that they're dumping, they're paying to dump into the municipal water supply and telling people the lie that somehow this is beneficial to your teeth? to the health of your teeth when it's the exact opposite. It actually causes problems with the teeth. It causes problems with the gums. It's a complete nervous, central nervous system toxin that is a cumulative toxin, and it also profoundly affects the pineal gland in the center of the mammalian brain of the human brain. It's called the midbrain or the mammalian brain, it's the place where all of the glandular activity of the brain takes place. There's the whole complex is comprised of the amygdala, the thalamus, the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and the pineal gland. And the pineal gland, traditionally throughout, you know, different occult traditions and spiritual traditions, has been called the third eye within the human head. So this is like something that actually has to do with not only memory, but spirituality. And, you know, a deeply seated sense of self within the human psyche. And if the pineal gland is damaged, calcified, or ill-functioning, someone basically loses aspects of themselves. It's that important to human development. It's that important to, the essence of who we are and our spiritual nature. And, I was explaining, you have to get on substances that will clean that part of your brain, because it can be reversed. You know, a calcified pineal can be reversed. One of the things you could take is tamarind has been known to help cleanse that. I would say spirulina is another substance. There are other adaptogens that one could take that could be beneficial to helping clear out fluoride toxicity, like ashwagandha, foti, also known as heishuwu, and other substances. Nascent iodine is something that I think everybody should learn about and really start taking to supplement as a beneficial supplement. So, and not just that, but get off the fluoridated water. If you're not using a reverse osmosis system, you know, you're out of your mind by this point in your life. Like, if you're not on some heavy duty water purification system that is really getting toxins, fluoride, pharmaceuticals and other chemicals and heavy metals out of your water before drinking it, you're doing damage to your central nervous system. You're doing damage to your pineal gland. You're doing damage to your brain. You're doing damage to your kidneys and just about every other part of your body. And the other thing is, stop using fluoridated toothpaste. There's no reason for fluoride to be in toothpaste. You know, toothpaste should be, some type of a alkalizing substance and a light cleanser/friction agent that has some friction to it. And that's about it. You know, there's tons of non-fluoridated toothpaste on the market these days. For people to still buy fluoridated toothpaste, you're just asking for poison and toxicity in the body, you know, and not to filter your water at this point is insanity. So, you know, I told this person about all of this, and they say that they're going to, you know, try to do something about it. And we'll see, because, you know, people hear information and then they don't act on it. And again, to claim to know and then not to act on it means you truly haven't really heard. You don't really know. That's why I keep telling people they think they know my information, and yet they're not actually doing what the requirements that I am explaining to them are requirements for freedom. So do they really know? Are they knowledgeable people? No. They're people who claim they've listened. They've claimed they've been a decent student. They've claimed they've been a decent learner. But they really haven't truly deeply incorporated and integrated the lesson, you know? And this goes down to, what is teachability? What is the ability to learn, incorporate knowledge, truly listen? What are these factors? Because, you know, this plays into the second thing that you talked about at the top of the hour after coming back from the break, Jay, and that's people going into the military and doing the bidding of these globalist psychopathic lunatic occultists, because that's who runs the military. If you don't believe that occultists run the military, just type into any search engine of your choice, NRO mission patches, okay? The National Reconnaissance Office that puts spy satellites into orbit of Earth to go and spy on the places that they want to bomb next, right? Go and look up the NRO mission patches, and you tell me that occultists, that dark sorcerers and Satanists don't run this planet, okay? And most people will say, oh, it's some coincidence, or, oh, they have reasons for putting that symbolism on them. No, they're Satanists. They're dark occultists, they're Satanists, they're sick occult lunatics is what they are. And they are the people who own your children. That's the people who, when you're an imbecile parent that didn't teach your kid true right from wrong, they're going to go into the military as the proxy parent because the child already thinks of their parent as dumb, dolt morons, and they're not incorrect about that. They're probably correct, and they want to get away from them, and they want to go start some new life, and they want to get money for so-called education, and so they go and join the devil. They go and join with the devil. And let me tell you something, folks. I'm not talking anti-America. I believe in America as a root idea, that we've completely gone so far off the original intent and path from that it's laughable. It's going off what started as an American ideals and American, you know, philosophy. That was supposed to be the direction that this country was supposed to go as a beacon of freedom and knowledge. Literally, it went so sideways that it is like you said you wanted to be a Christian and then you just start worshiping Satan. It's literally that far off the path, this country. So I'm not just talking about American military. I'm talking about the military of the whole damn world. It doesn't matter whether you're in the Chinese military, if you're in the Russian military, if you're in the American military, if you're in the Mexican military. I don't care where it is on the planet. Okay, people going into the military means that they're dumb. It means you didn't truly, really learn anything that's truly holistically intelligent education. You didn't go through the path of true holistic intelligent education. You could be smart at crunching numbers or flying an aircraft or doing whatever, but you're still dumb. You're still not really a smart person. You know, you could even have a high IQ and be a complete dumb jackass. You know, just that number doesn't matter if it's not whole integrated intelligence. Just intellect by itself doesn't mean you're truly intelligent. And people going into the military are extremely dumb people. And I'm just going to use that word. They're not just unintelligent. They're not just unread. They're completely dumb. Okay, they weren't given true knowledge and education either by their parents, by the school system, by society at large, and they want to believe that they're doing something good or worthwhile or beneficial to themselves when all they're doing is perpetuating an abuse victim cycle. And this is all humanity is doing. We're perpetuating a cycle of abuse and victimhood. And the abuse victim cycle works like this. A traumatic event is perpetrated by an abuser upon a victim. And then the victim will either identify with the abuser or as victim perpetually. And then they will continue to perpetuate the cycle. If they identify with the abuser, then they start abusing others. If they identify with the victim, then they continue to play victim and allow other abusers to come in and victimize them. And that is exactly what military everywhere in the world is, does, and contributes to. It contributes to the psychological abuse victim cycle. And largely it's because the dumb children that go and join the military, or the dumb adults that go and join the military or stay in the military as a career, and never become holistically intelligent enough to quit the world's militaries or police forces have been not been truly raised by their parents. The entire job of a parent, which could be defined as a person who brings a new life that has not yet existed in this incarnated dimension into this world, their job is to educate and raise the child morally so that they can become a child that is capable of truly learning, of educating themselves further, and growing in consciousness. And almost all parents on this entire planet are abject, miserable failures at the job that which was the one job you should do completely to the best of your ability. And this idea that parents on this planet are doing the best that they can is absolute complete bull crap. It's 100% a lie. You're not doing the best you can as a parent. Almost every parent has been an abject, miserable failure to their child and their spiritual development and truly raising them, which they're not doing. And the proof is where our society is at and what it still thinks. We're still enslaved. The military and the police are the people doing the actual physical enslavement of the people. And there is still the thought process that this is something good and necessary, which it is neither. And you alluded to the symbolism on the police regalia. I mean, I did a whole presentation on this back as early as 2011 on the occult mockery of police's symbolism that is placed on their uniform and military uniforms and regalia. You know, it's called the occult mockery of police. Yeah,
it was as good as some of the best stuff I've seen. Some from Michael Tazarian.
My breakdown of symbolism, I thought was pretty well done, and I think the presentation was very effective at conveying the message that the occultists who own and control the military and the police don't give a damn about the people joining it, and they mock and ridicule them secretly at every turn. Okay.
Absolutely.
This presentation was called "The Occult Mockery of Police and Military Personnel." Okay, and the fact that people are still joining the police and military in throngs and droves is proof that we have no true parenting in our society, that the parents who have children are children themselves and are abject, miserable failures at actually, truly, morally raising their children. So I just wanted to talk about those two things before we get into other topics, since you brought them up at the top of the hour, and I just wanted to make sure I got those couple of points out there.
Well, that's why I've been having you on, Mark, because between the two of us, we have a lot to share. And fluoride is a halogen, and it goes into the thyroid. All you have good halogens and bad halogens. Iodine, especially nascent iodine, which is available on the market, is good for you. It's good for your halogen uptake in your thyroid gland.
That's right.
If you have fluoride, which is a bad halogen, in your thyroid, you're going to have thyroid issues physically.
People don't understand how much the thyroid does. It regulates so many of the important functions of the body. It regulates other glandular activity. It regulates other organs. It's like a task controller in an operating system. It literally is. That's how important the thyroid is, believe it or not. Of course, at the throat level, it would probably certainly be the gland identified with the throat chakra energy system, energy center of the chakra system of the body. And nascent means newly born. It means that it's relatively new and has not yet bonded with other elements and compounds in the environment. It means that it is newly taken from the earth, regardless of when it actually formed, but it is newly taken from the earth and it's not polluted by being bound to other chemical agents or compounds in the earth. So that's why nascent iodine is important. If you use older iodine that has already had binding done to other substances, you're not going to absorb it, and it's not actually going to do the type of cleansing and regulation that it will help do to the thyroid and other glandular systems like the pineal gland. It helps decalcify the pineal, and it certainly will clean up damage and toxicity done to the thyroid. Let me tell you something. Nascent iodine is so important that it is, if somebody said you had to give up every single other supplement that you ever take, nascent iodine would be the substance that I would continue to take. It would be the one Absolutely. Thing. If you're doing one thing, that's the one that's the most important, and you will see drastic differences to the way your body behaves, reacts, the energy level, the thought process, your clarity of thinking, all of it gets regulated once you start taking nascent iodine continually. It doesn't mean you take it 1 week and then you stop. You take it continually and you will see the difference. Your body will respond with a thank you. Believe me. And I can say that from doing it personally. I've been taking nascent iodine since probably 2012, maybe 2011 or 12, and I will never stop taking it. I take it every single solitary day of my life, and it is the most important supplement that I take.
Also, I wanted to talk about fluoride as one of the most damaging neurotoxins, because nothing gets through the blood-brain barrier.
That's right.
Like nanoparticulate aluminum. And when you put fluoride in the brain, it attracts nanoparticulate aluminum, one of the worst neurotoxins in the world.
That's what's creating all the Alzheimer's that's out there. Yep. It's so insidious and satanic.
They spray the nano aluminum in the chemtrails, the geoengineering, and
falls
then
on the food we eat.
They have you drink the fluoride.
Yep. It's a multi-pronged, multifaceted, full-spectrum dominance attack on every aspect of the human being.
Oh, there's no doubt that the elite, they've already killed 100 million people, and they are going for broke.
Yes, they are.
They have carved into what now is gone, the Georgia Guidestones, their intention to bring the population of the earth down to 500 million people.
Yep.
And they're
95%
not playing.
Reduction.
And you and I have been screaming at the top of our lungs for years, for over a decade, that they're not joking. These people are possessed, interdimensionally possessed psychopaths.
That's right.
And they're going to do it.
They are doing it. These
Even
people
if
don't
they
play.
Kill themselves.
They're willing to sacrifice themselves to carry out their mission. And we're not. That's the problem. Yep. And let me tell you something. That you're right, Jay. These people do not play games. They're not playing around. And we are not entering a period of human culling. We are in it. We're living through a culling of humanity right now. It's actively occurring. It's not coming. It's happening now. And most people just are not conscious enough to see it. But
Jay,
make no mistake about it. These people are willing to destroy the planet and themselves.
Wait a minute. We have a caller who's been listening. You have a question?
Jay, you and your guest are the ultimate conspiracy theorists. I don't think you have a healthy respect for authority, and I'm calling you out on live radio.
How you doing, Bob?
I'm doing very well. It's Mark's old
Bob,
nemesis,
it is
Bob
great to
Cincinnati.
Hear from you.
A pleasure.
It's been too long, my friend, too long.
I know. I'm so sorry. I tried to get out to your presentation, but I'm so looking forward to two masks, same face, the Nazism and communism unmasked. I'm so looking forward to it.
Well, I'm glad you sound well. I hope you're doing well. It's really great to hear your voice, man.
Oh, he's doing really good. He's on what, your seventh booster?
Hey, I stopped after three. I started listening to this show, so I stopped him. No, I you know what? My oldest daughter, I begged her. I bet she and her roommate were dead set. They got the main shot and the one or two of those boosters. Finally, after being so sick with it, they were both sick as dogs. They finally realized how stupid all this was. But I begged her as she went out the door. I said, Kate, haven't you heard a damn thing I've said over the last 10 years? These are the same people, the same government that sprayed Agent Orange on their own troops and then denied the care. They're the same government that put radioactive material in breakfast cereal for what we would call disabled children. It just horrible. You know, I could go on. You guys know the litany of
well,
horror.
Well, that was Fauci in New York.
Yeah.
Lying about shameful. Weapons of mass destruction that led to the deaths of millions of people.
I had a horrible nightmare last night about the horror of what's going on in Gaza. It was my spirit, my soul. I believed I saw images like sent to me that were real, like I saw something. I know that sounds corny to some people, but it was almost like a dark spiritual horror that I saw. And my being just, I'm crying out now with others. We can't remain silent. We must stand up against this terror that's going on in the Middle East, backed by the U.S. to the Israeli government. It's outrageous what's going on. It's absolute genocide. It's murder.
Yep, yep. And it's being done in our
Hamas name. Hamas is 100 feet below the surface in their tunnels that they've built for 40 years while Israel is carpet bombing civilians.
Yep.
And I just want to make this point about this. You see lines of Palestinian men in their underwear lined up. And these are surrendered Palestinians to the Israeli Defense Force.
Yes.
How come we haven't seen any piles of weaponry? We haven't seen piles of machine guns, rifles, RPGs. We just see these civilian men in their underwear. But we don't see the piles of weaponry. Every time terrorists are busted, you always see the cache of weapons. But in Gaza, we don't see the cache of weapons.
Right.
Why is that?
It's because Hamas fighters
are 100 feet below the fighting, right. Laughing.
And it's a sacrifice ritual. That's all. The forms of modern warfare have been and continue to be. It's a dog and pony show. It's a magician's trick with mirrors, and all it's doing is culling more of the population, creating more death, putting more people on the altar of satanic sacrifice, and the population cheers it on. We're cheering on ethnic cleansing in the name of America. And picking sides in this completely ridiculous and totally destructive conflict when we should be for de-escalation and not for continued warfare backed by government, you know, and people just think that they're moral people. You know, they still insist that they're good people. We are no different than every other totalitarian regime that has ever existed. The people of the past that propped up dictators, that did ethnic cleansing, that conducted genocide upon their own populations and the populations of other nations, American people are no different morally from those people. They were bad people, and the vast majority of us today are bad people. And there is a way out of it. There is a way for a bad person to actually reform and become a truly moral being, a truly good person, capital G good, capital P person. There is a method, there is a way, and it involves knowledge. It involves ceasing and desisting in being a dumb person first. Only truly, truly, truly dumb people ever really become really bad people. The more knowledge that a person truly has, the more likely it is that they're going to learn morality along that pathway of knowledge, and they're going to start to align themselves with it. The reason that humanity is so immoral is because it's so ill-educated, because we're rejecting knowledge. This is what in biblical texts, especially in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, which again, we could probably quote to the so-called Christians their scripture better than they can. It says, "My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge." When you don't have knowledge of what the real difference between right and wrong truly is, your actions are going to be completely out of alignment with the laws of the creator of the universe, which are all about choosing good over evil and choosing moral behavior over immoral behavior. Why can't people simply see that basic connection? And it's because they're in the state of satanic ego. This is where the social engineers of our society want all of us. They want us in the satanic mindset of, I know everything I currently need to know. There's nothing that has escaped my attention. I have all the answers. I'm well educated enough to make informed decisions. I'm not duped by social engineers. I'm not duped by the mainstream media. I'm not duped by my religion, so-called. I'm not duped by what I was taught in the education system. No, I'm perfectly fine. I'm immune to all of those things. See, the difference between me and people who think like that is I already went in the distant past of my life through the process of actually admitting to myself through doing shadow work in a mirror, through looking at all of the dark and negative aspects of myself, that I was a completely ignorant dolt dupe. I was fooled. I was completely duped into believing things that were untrue. I did believe in false religions. I did help people who were not good people. I did go into the service of evil. I had to acknowledge all of that about myself in my youth, in my younger years. And when I did it, it was the most deeply dark, depressing night of the soul that I've ever gone through. To the point where I've told people many times, I almost did not survive it. See, that's the difference in strength. That's the difference in robustness. That's the difference in courage that I displayed versus where most people will never have the strength, the robustness, the fortitude, the courage to actually go through that process themselves. I was in the cult that runs the world. How much deeper and darker into ignorance and darkness and Satanism do you need to go? You know, if I could do it, if I could turn my ego around and I could learn the truth, it should be a piece of cake for the average person. The problem is, what I've subsequently learned is I had an easy case of the ego. I had a case of ego attachment that was seemingly practically non-existent compared to the average human being today. The average human being today is so deeply nested in ego identification that they will go off to their doom and death on their shield of ego. before ever admitting that they are duped, that they're ignorant, that they're involved with something that is evil or bad, that they're supporting something that is bad or evil, and that their thinking is distorted and they've been given false ideas. That's the problem, is that people have – see, that's what an apology to the creator is. It means – see, the idea of an apology means if you break words down, you learn what they mean. Apology means apo logos. Apology comes from two Greek words. Apo in Greek means away from or back, going back or away from something. Okay? And logos means the word. A true apology means you're going away from your claim of the word. And your claim of the word means you're the one claiming the truth. You're the one who is claiming godhood. You're the one who is claiming you're not wrong and can do no wrong and cannot be duped. Okay? And that's the perfect. That's the divine. That's the godhood. That's the creator. And we have to let the word, which was with the creator, remain with the creator. We have to give it back to the creator. That's what an apology is. It's saying, the word is not mine, the word is yours, and I'm giving it back to you. Literally, you're translating the word down into its etymological origins. And that's what a true apology is. And this is the problem. Humanity will not make an apology to creation. They will not make an apology to God. They will not make an apology to the creator of the universe and the creator of all of the universal laws of morality. We want to remain in the satanic mindset. We were right the whole time. Our thinking was never distorted or messed up. We never subscribed to satanic ideology. We never refused to acknowledge what true moral right was versus what we were taught in nonsensical religious notions of right and wrong. We were never duped by Satanism. We were never duped into satanic thought and continuing to condone things that are satanic and evil, like the belief in authority, like military, like police, like coercion, like duress, holding people under the duress of government and the coercion of government and the violence of government. No, we don't want to acknowledge our wrongdoing and our role in doing and condoning all of that. And then allegedly raising, we did nothing of the kind. We crapped out some children and then didn't pay attention to them or provide for their true spiritual, mental, or moral needs and emotional needs. And we just shoved them to the state, for the state to educate, for Hollywood to so-called educate, and to give them their worldview and ideas, and then put them onto the altar of war, onto the altar of sacrifice called war, as order followers. That's still the condition of this world. It shows no sign of changing. And the reason is, dumb people won't apologize to the creator and become smart people that can eventually become moral people. They want to stay in their ignorance. They want to stay in their immorality. They want to stay in their true religion, which is Satanism. The true religion of the people of this planet has nothing to do with the cultural world religions. It has nothing to do with any of the core, even moral ideas that they tried to hit and missed the mark themselves. Nothing even close to it. It's Satanism, balls to bone. All the way through, it's Satanism. And the whole society has become one big satanic ritual because people will not simply acknowledge that they were wrong and they were duped.
Well, I just want to say, I talked to a friend of mine who is starting an online church with a bunch of former warlocks and witches from Pennsylvania. And, it'll be a month or two until they get it together. And I'll tell people about it when she gets it up and running. But I just think that it's kind of cool that people that have been in the cult.
Yes.
You know, and recover their consciousness and go through the shadow work and reintegrate from the mind control. It can be done. The people at the top, the elite inbred that have a lot of reptilian genetics in them, I don't know whether they can be helped. But I know for a fact, because I did it, that people who are not generationally inbred to be Satanists, they definitely can break the chain of Satanism. And I just want to say, the first fruit of idolatry is war.
That's right.
The first fruit. And you know, we talk about safety all the time. What did President Eisenhower say about safety? He said, well, if you want to be safe, go to a prison.
Yep.
Because you'll be safe there.
That's right.
Freedom is dangerous.
I cannot even believe the things that I hear people saying that they want done in our society for alleged safety. One of the things, this is a complete different topic and going in a total different direction than the things we have been talking about, but I figured I'll just lay it out briefly in the time that we have left. I've been harping for about at least, I'm going to say 15 years on the topic of how immoral and depraved and complete control freakishness the system of software that the computer company Apple institutes on their iPhone system and the iPad. They have a completely closed ecosystem, which some people think they always had. And no, it isn't true. The ecosystem of the Mac is not that closed as far as software is concerned, because on the Mac, a developer can simply write software and sell it to the public, as they can on Windows, as they can for Linux platforms. People who know how to code software can program a piece of software. They can either give it to the public or they can sell it to the public. The public can download it. They can put it on a hard drive, a flash drive, whatever, install it onto their computer and use it. That's been the model of computing since computers were invented. And Apple came along in 2007 and introduced the iOS system for the iPhone. And they tried to change this model completely. And they did change it, at least on iOS and now what's called iPadOS operating systems. And they act as the sole gatekeeper for every app that can be installed in the system. So you can only download an app for the iOS and iPadOS platforms, the Apple's mobile platform, computing platforms, and platforms for their phones and tablets through Apple. So Apple has to approve the app and allow the developer to sell the app to people through Apple's store. This is a complete departure from the way software was distributed in the whole history of computing since computers were invented. And people don't understand how and why this is immoral. So people will say, it's Apple's platform, they can do whatever they want. No, it's my property once I buy a device with an operating system on it that has my data in it. Okay, a totally closed system, you can argue, like a gaming console. Okay, the developer can run a closed system, and it's just games are played on it. They're just loaded and played. That's not what a computer operating system such as the iOS and iPadOS systems are. My data is in that system. Okay, and then information that I want to receive comes into that system as well. It's not for entertainment purposes only. It's for work, it's for personal data storage, and it's for information storage and retrieval. So Apple is acting as the gatekeeper of all functionality of what can ever happen on that platform. Android is different because it allows people to install software by ticking a box and saying, I want to install this third-party software, even though I know it's not from the Android App Store, the Google Play Store, as they call it. Okay? They allow what's called sideloading. And Apple wants to completely disallow sideloading in perpetuity. Now, in the EU, the governments of the European Union said that this is a matter of it constitutes trust. It constitutes what is called a trust, where you're completely trying to eliminate all forms of competition. So their antitrust legislation was passed. And again, I'm not for government. In this case, I agree that Apple should not be allowed to continue this immoral practice, but I don't think government should solve it. I think people should solve it by never buying anything that, as far as iOS or iPadOS, they should tell people we're not going to use this. But people don't even know that this is an issue or why it's important. Okay, what Apple is capable of doing by running an entirely closed system like this is when they don't want people to see information that they deem unacceptable, they can close their entire platform down to the ability of someone to put that data onto the platform, even if they want it on their own device. So I'll give an example. InfoWars had an app, and it could be run on Android, and if they were allowed to put it in the iOS store, it would be allowed to be run on that. Well, it was, I believe, on both. Okay, then Apple banned it, right? So if it's banned on the Android store, okay, they're allowed to say, I don't want this app in my store. I think anybody that runs a store should say, I don't want this product in my store. Fine. But if you disallow someone to download that themselves and then install it themselves outside of your store, you're trying to tell somebody, we control the entire feature set and all information that you can ever garner from this device. What's next? They're going to start banning you of being allowed to go to websites within the browser on the phone?
They will. See. They will, right, before it's all said and done.
Right.
It's outrageous.
And here's what I see.
I just want to say this.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, go ahead.
I just want to say this before we go. Mark and Jay, I am so proud to have stood with you earlier in the days of internet golden age podcasting.
Yes.
In the early 2010s and early teens. Your first 1 through 100 podcast, I was a big part of that. I'm so proud. I leave this rock at one stage, not yet, but I leave this rock, and that's my proudest moment. I just wanted you guys to know that so proud in my life to have stood with you shoulder to shoulder in this fight for freedom. Thank you. I just wanted,
amen,
to say,
brother,
that.
Bob, I love you, man, and you know, that means a lot too to me, and I feel the exact same way. It's great to be talking with you again, man. You made my night.
Thank you. I'm going to send you an email, and then you copy Jay on it so I can be in the loop here. And we need to hook up. I need to head out to Philly, and we all need to be together.
For sure, brother.
Sounds good. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, it was a good show, Mark.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
I'll see you Saturday, folks.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in